Our first reading is from Isaiah. Let me get these on. That's better. Isaiah chapter 51. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and I made many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So I want to go back to Romans for a minute, our second reading this morning, where Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Now, like usual, I spent most of my Bible study time focused on our gospel reading for today, but this verse from Romans kept coming up for me. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, as an act of worship. Paul used the word for body, soma, to refer not just to our head, shoulders, knees, and toes, but to our whole selves. And the word sacrifice isn't meant the way that we use it today, like giving something up or some sort of loss. You know, like, I sacrificed a lot to be here, or we all have to make sacrifices to make ends meet. That's not what the word meant in the ancient world. Paul's use of sacrifice language refers to the ancient practice of ritual animal sacrifice, giving the animal as an offering to God, which was a common and familiar way that people gave thanks and worshiped. So what Paul is saying here, what he's telling the Christians in Rome to do, is to offer up their whole selves to God as a form of worship. And when we're told again and again in Scripture the same thing, that this is what God wants from us. God doesn't want empty acts of worship, just checking off some to-do list to try and earn God's favor. Doing that makes any form of worship empty and meaningless. Instead, the worship that God desires from us involves the giving of our whole selves, our whole lives. So what does that look like? How do we offer ourselves as worship? Well, it means living out our faith, embodying our faith in everything that we do. Our faith isn't something that we just perform for an hour here on Sunday. Our faith, our discipleship, is lived out in every aspect of our lives. We live out our discipleship in how we treat our families, how we do our jobs, the way in which we volunteer, the way we are friends with one another. We live out our discipleship here with our church family and as citizens out in the community. Our faith and our discipleship involves how we treat the world that God created and how we interact with strangers that we meet. Every single thing that we do, every single part of our lives is done differently because of our faith. And when we do that, when we follow Jesus with our whole lives, when we let God's love for us shape everything that we do, then our entire life becomes an act of worship. This past week, I participated in a set of daily challenges that were put out by queertheology.com. There were these little homework assignments every day, and the point of them was to help people stop compartmentalizing different parts of themselves, as though some of those parts were somehow separate from their faith. And it was designed especially for those who've been told that their sexuality or their gender identity could not be part of their faith. So in these exercises, we were encouraged to bring our full selves to our interpretation of Scripture, reminded that our uniqueness and our specific perspective offers important insights when we read the Bible. We were reminded that every part of our identity was created by our loving God. Each of us made in God's own image. We were encouraged to approach all of our relationships as an expression of our faith. All of the activities were designed both for healing and for lifting up the fact that our whole selves and all of who we are, with all of our beautiful uniqueness, all of it is part of our faith journey. Like Paul told the church in Rome, we have all been made and gifted differently. And yet, we are still one body with its many different members. One body in Christ. And each and every one of us, as part of this body of Christ, is called to worship God with our whole selves. In other words, we are called to live out God's love with all that we are and in all that we do. Now, that may feel like a really big ask. In a way, it is. I mean, it's asking us for everything. And yet, it is also amazingly good news, because it means that God wants all of us, our whole selves, every aspect of us, every part of our lives, no exceptions. It means that God loves all of us and claims our whole selves, every single part of who we are, even the parts that we fail to love about ourselves, or that the world fails to love about us. The good news is that there is absolutely no part of us that is outside of God's love. In our gospel reading, Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And there are lots of answers. The disciples have heard a lot of people say a lot of things about Jesus. And most of those answers get it wrong. They show that people do not understand who Jesus really is or what God is doing through him. And that continues to be true today. Who do people say that Jesus is? If you listen to the loudest voices out there, you might hear, "Jesus is a triumphant king who will bless them with riches and fancy cars, or who one day will take down their enemies." Or God presents Jesus as a wrathful judge in the eyes of some people, who condemns anybody who doesn't conform to societal norms or who doesn't accept a narrow and specific set of beliefs. You can hear voices that say Jesus is a patriotic American who values this country above all others. Just like the original disciples, we are surrounded by misunderstandings and false witnesses of who Jesus is. But who do you say Jesus is? When people look at you, or interact with you, when they know that you're a Christian, what does it tell them about who Jesus is? How do you, with all that you are, live out the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of God that Jesus embodied? Now, this is not a call to be perfect, because none of us are. But all of us are created, blessed, and loved by God. All of us are called to share this love with the world, to live it out the best that we can with every part of our lives. That is the worship that God desires from us. Living lives that continue the ministry of Jesus, that continue the revelation of God's love in flesh and blood. And we can go out and do that boldly. We can live out our faith confidently and fearlessly with all that we are and in all that we do, knowing that we are fully, wholly, and completely loved by God, no matter what. Because when we fail, And when we succeed, the truth remains. We are loved. Every single part of us. Loved. No exceptions. Thanks be to God. Amen.